This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
NFL fans, are you hungry for a big win this weekend? DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game, and if they do, you can win $200 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet just $5 on any NFL team to win their game and win $200 in free bets. If they win, you win with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older in Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
4 o'clock, Fan Run Radio. The Drive continues. Top 4 at 4 this afternoon brought to you by Craven Wings. We're going to be out there again tomorrow from 3 to 6. T. Fair is going to be with us from 4 to 6 live on the spot. I'll be there the whole 3 hours. Come out and see us in Choto, North Shore Drive, way out west. Craven Wings, always fresh, never frozen.
Number 1, LSU and Ed Orgeron have reached a settlement to part ways at the end of the season. The buyout includes a payout of $16.9 million, and it comes 21 months after Orgeron led LSU to a national title.
Saw this coming a mile away.
Hell, you said it last week that it was going to happen.
I said it at the time when they hired him before they won the national championship. I said this will end a disaster. Now, they won a natty, and I did not see that coming. So, I would love to hear some Baton Rouge radio this afternoon. I mean, was it worth it? I guess it probably was. You won a national championship, right? I mean,
not going to get taken away.
You gave the keys to your program to a complete madman, and he's left you in a bit of a jam here. It's interesting, right, from a Tennessee perspective. We play down there next year.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully Hendon Hooker recovers, and he is the man. And we're in year two of our program down there, and they're in year one of a new coaching staff, new systems, and all that stuff. And we might have an opportunity to go in there and basically do what Ole Miss did to us, where, yeah, they might have more talented players, but we're a better football team because we're well-drilled in our systems and know exactly what we're doing, and they're still kind of trying to figure things out. I think that's a highly winnable game for Tennessee next season.
Number 2, Lady Vol for Life Candace Parker has led the Chicago Sky to its first ever WNBA title. Parker made some clutch shots late and had a huge impact, which propelled the Sky to a title. It is Parker's second title as a player.
All right. Candace Parker, great effort. Chicago, the Sky?
Yep.
Hoisted the WNBA title?
I guess so.
Well, good for them. Is that the first title to be hung in the United Center? I assume they play in the United Center.
Since
Michael Jordan walked out of there? Cool. Good stuff.
Number 3, one of the biggest complaints from minor league baseball players is their living situation. Players either have to live with multiple teammates or have a host family to provide housing. That is changing in 2022, as the MLB teams will provide housing for minor league players.
I think that's really cool. So, what are they? Are they basically going to give them a stipend for apartment money, or are they, you know, like build a like frat house right next to the stadium?
I can get down with that, but
that's good, man. Because
especially for a lot of the guys that we just had coming out of here.
You hear the stories about how hard that lifestyle is when you're not making much money. And
sharing a one-bedroom apartment with 8 guys.
Here's a cheese sandwich to eat on the bus ride. It's like, ugh. Man.
Two plates of spaghetti being rationed off between 26 guys.
Yeah.
Ugh. And number 4, college basketball AP Top 25 has been released, and it has Tennessee coming in at 18th. Gonzaga, UCLA, Kansas, Villanova, and Texas make up your top 5, and a total of 5 SEC teams made the preseason poll.
So hard in modern college basketball to keep up with what everybody else has. So I don't know if this is high, low, or just right for where we ought to be, but 18 feels good. We're a solid top 25 program. Ran into my boy Steve Hamer Saturday before the ball game, and he said he was at the – we're going to get him on the show later in the week. He said he was at the open scrimmage Saturday morning and said they look good. Said Kennedy Chandler is the real deal. Very excited.
Got some more news on him coming up in the top five.
Ooh, little teaser there.
Yeah.
Well done, Jake Miller. Is that it?
That's it.
All right, Top 4 at 4 brought to you by Craven Wings. We'll be live tomorrow in Chote. Craven Wings. Can't wait to get back out there. Fresh, always fresh, never frozen, hand-cut, hand-breaded. Chicken tenders are delicious out there. The cleanest, healthiest chicken anywhere. All their wings are no antibiotic, no hormone, no steroids, always gluten-free. The fries are some of the best in town. Absolutely delicious. Fresh burgers, everything. Fresh, fresh, fresh. That's what you get at Craven Wings. Would love to see you out there tomorrow. I love Jacob Warren, man. I wish we'd get him the ball. All he does is make plays. And he almost, I mean, that would have been legendary. Upon rewatch, I got to say, I don't think it was a terrible call. And like Bear said Saturday night after the game, if they had said it was a first down, I don't think they would have moved it back either. I think it was just one of those things where they had two angles of it. You didn't have a conclusive thing to overturn it. The spot was pure guesswork because the guy was 20 yards behind it. But Jacob Warren with his NIL deal from Craven Wings, man.
Such a good kid, too.
Oh, the best. And he's going to be a player going forward, man. He just keeps getting better out there. We need to use him more. Back to the phones. 865-546-8200. Overreaction Monday, presented by the Phone Exchange, continues. Brad in Nashville is next. What's up, Brad?
Hey, guys. I was trolling around on Facebook over the weekend, and like I'm a glutton for punishment, so I was in the shallow end of the gene pool, the VFL Facebook group. And there's a bunch of these people in there that are just like foghorn, leghorn. I do believe that you would create against our stadium, but I thought, shut up. And they were talking about how it was going to hurt recruiting and all that crap. It's just a result of a fan base that's just had too much, man. The whole bad officiating, the entire game, just inconsistent. It was the straw that broke the camel's back, and they just snapped. And I guarantee that the recruits that were there watching the entire experience and the fans actually, well, standing up for the players, that bet you they loved every second of it. So, I don't know.
Like Red said in
totally overblown.
Yeah, like Red said in Shawshank Redemption, every man's got his breaking point.
Yeah, and we hit it. And so there's that. We're doing very, very well with a team that's held together by Bondo and your fingers crossed and hope. And the fact that we're as effective as we are against schools that are fully staffed and not playing with 75% of the scholarship players you're supposed to have, and a lot of those that we do have are walk-ons that we just gave scholarships to because we have them. I mean, I don't know. He's doing good. He's been given lemons and he's making lemonade. So I'm here for it. I was firmly on the fence before, but after the past couple of weeks, and God knows what next week's going to look like, because I mean, just play the backups, man. Or take 42 to nothing and skip the game so you can get healthy. I really don't care at all about what happens in that game. Playing Bama is boring to me now because we can't give him enough of a fight. So I just don't care. We need to get ready and get healthy for the rest of our schedule.
But yeah, it's
not going to happen. We're going to take a run at him. So we'll
yeah. I mean, and I dig that about Heupel, man. I feel you. And he might take his foot off the gas a little bit and just not say anything about it publicly, and maybe that's what we've been doing with, you know, not rushing Cooper Mays or Tyon Evans back out there the other night. He's all gas, no brakes, man, and he's going to go in there and run his system, and I kind of dig it about him, even if it might get him beat 50 to nothing this week.
Be bullheaded about it. The torpedoes. We're gonna
well, and here's something else, man. And I mean, I hate to be a broken record about this, but this is a big deal, man, about this faking injuries thing, because
it's
only going to get worse from here on out. And heck, Saban might do it. I mean, I hate that we have to have the conversation, But it's if you can take advantage of it, there's no honor amongst these guys, man. They're all snakes, and they're all win at all costers, and they're going to keep doing it. At Chris on Twitter said, "We need to play hurt after literally every single offensive play against Alabama. Make a real show of it. Guarantee the rule gets changed then." And okay, that's hyperbolic. Look, if you don't resort to extreme measures, this is going to keep happening. So I don't know. I don't see Heupel doing that, because I think he's, unlike Lane Kiffin, he's got an ounce of class. But it's not going to change until, if it doesn't change after that, it's going to take something like what Chris is suggesting, where you're just, after every play, somebody's going to fake an injury, and we're going to make this game last 6 hours. Not right. Not exaggerating. It's going to be a six-hour football game, and we're going to get a free timeout after every play. We're going to sub after every play, and we're going to keep doing it game after game until somebody puts a new rule in.
Yeah, and to think about it, you can't really argue against it, because all you're doing is erring on the abundant caution for the health of the players. Well, if he's that injured, take him out for the rest of the series. You got to make sure he's okay, don't you? I mean, it would change that overnight. They would stop doing it if, sure, the player that got hurt.
It's a simple solution. That's what's so frustrating about it is the solution is so simple. People act like, oh, it's a complex problem because we got to make – no, it's not. Yeah, we get you have to make the game safe, and safety is paramount, and that's first and foremost. Like you said, Brad, you sit out the rest of it. You can't get hurt when you're not playing. So
if it's bad enough for you to come out of the game, yeah, then it's obviously bad enough for you to sit out the rest of the series to make sure that you're all right.
Look, and maybe it's third down, and you only end up having to sit out one play, but I'd rather have that than what we saw Saturday night. That was a farce.
Right. Yeah, it was trash. Real quick before I bounce out, a couple of things real quick. Go Titans tonight, playing on Monday Night Football. Hopefully we try to make something out of this season after losing to the freaking Jets. But we'll see. Playing the Bills, they're super good, and we'll see if Derrick Henry can run over them. But more importantly, wanted to cham on my Braves, up 2-0 on the Dodgers in the NLCS. They're flying to Atlanta. They're flying to L.A. right now, and I wanted your take before I bounce on if you think they're going to be able to pull this off. The Dodgers got to win 4 out of 5. So do you think they can do it?
I'm ready to hurt.
Well, obviously they can.
I'm ready to hurt, Brad. I'm ready to hurt. I'm ready for my Titans to blow it on Monday Night Football. I'm ready to get roasted by Josh Allen. And I'm ready for a classic Atlanta Braves postseason collapse. I'm ready for it, man. My heart is ready. I'm prepared. Come at me. Come at me, life.
12 in the first inning.
You ain't got nothing I ain't ever seen before. Let's go, baby.
You are not prepared for this.
Rip this heart open and let's bleed.
For real, man. Just put your heart out on the table and hit it with a hammer. Anyways, love you guys. Take it easy. Go Titans, Braves, Vols. You know the deal. Later.
Thanks, Brad. Appreciate it. Robbie is up next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. What's up, Robbie?
What's up, man? What's up?
Robbie, we're hanging in there, bud. How about you?
You know, after Saturday, I guess what can I say? Anyways, okay. I just want to say a few things. First and foremost, the team plays well. They fight. They don't quit. You know, you can't ever complain about that. Next thing.
Hey, Robbie, I got to jump in. Are you on a Bluetooth device or some sort of speakerphone?
I was on my Bluetooth. Can you hear me?
That sounds so much better. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. So, first and foremost, anyone who wasn't at that game has no room to speak or talk on anything. Just straight up. I mean, okay. So, we were sitting in section 00, and before all of this, the stuff getting thrown by the students, all of that, my girlfriend got belted in the head by an empty cup by Ole Miss fans. So, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm not saying anything that occurred was right, but it's so Tennessee, right? Like, even our own administration doesn't even defend the team. Apologizing to Ole Miss because of that? No, I'm sorry. what did we ever do to Lane Kiffin to make him want to come in here and disrespect us like that? You know, like, I can't get over that. But, you know, at the end of the day, like, all the missed calls, all the bad calls, we already expect that. That's, we never get calls to begin with. It's really frustrating how even our own fan base is, you know, trying to get mad about how the fan base reacted. You know, and when I say that, I mean the older fan base, you know, not so much the students or, you know, the 30, 40, 50 year olds, but like people older than that, they expect, you know, whatever, like, there is no sportsmanship or class anymore in any type of sport.
I know, man.
Sorry, but
from any team,
want to be the best.
Did you guys see? I haven't seen this making the rounds, but somebody sent it to me. Did you guys see the video of Kiffin in the locker room saying "bleep Tennessee"?
Yep.
And you know, I get it. You see, like, Velus muffs the punt, the guy gets in his face. Hell, man, you can't go play pickup basketball at the YMCA without some kid, some little punk 19-year-old you don't even know, wanted to talk trash to you like he's Michael Jordan. This is game 7 of the NBA Finals. I mean, it's just politeness and basic manners and common decency are sorely lacking in modern society. It's a major problem. It's why you see some of the political divide and you know, what you see on social media with all this hate out there. It's not healthy.
So Russ, let me tell you why I really love Josh Heupel. Just this is it. Besides, you know, well, obviously I love the fast offense, which, you know, I believe straight up that Lane Kiffin knew what he was doing. I mean, obviously, of course, you know, it was legal cheating. You know, I mean,
not only did he know what he was doing, it was premeditated. I think it's important to understand that he knew what was going to happen and they were coached up. That was part of their game plan coming into it. I think that's important to know.
Of course. So as far as I'm concerned, I don't really care if it's premeditated that somebody brings a golf ball or a mustard bottle into the stadium. I could care less. But anyways, so as far as Heupel goes, I really enjoyed the fact that when Lane did all that petty stuff, Heupel can be petty back. I loved it. I mean,
like, I hate that it had to happen, but like I said earlier, when you're playing with somebody who refuses to play fair, you have to play by their rules, or you lose. And Heupel ain't no loser, and we're not losers, so I don't begrudge him for getting down in the gutter and playing dirty with Kiffin, because he created that situation.
I don't know what I watched Saturday night, but it wasn't a football game. I do know that. And it's just unreal. It's unreal how it's all turning on to the Tennessee fan base. Like, you know, but we're used to it, right? So it.
Hey, Robbie, we appreciate the phone call, man. Hang in there. I'm sorry. Hey, and I'll say this too, man. I'm sorry that you had a bad experience with your girl getting hit with the cup, man, because I know that Danny White's not going to apologize to you. Tennessee administration too busy kowtowing to Greg Sankey and the folks in Birmingham. So I hope that for those of you who were involved in that incidentally, who maybe were hit or were just caught up in some of that foolishness, I'm sorry that happened to you. Somebody DM'd me about their son was in the student section and got hit in the back of the head with like a half full can of beer. I imagine that hurt pretty bad. And I haven't heard anything out of the administration about the folks who were the victims of the boorishness that we said. There's no excuse for it, man. Like, I don't, it's not good. Doesn't help anything. And it is ridiculous, but it's also ridiculous the way the response to it. And the refusal to acknowledge what precipitated it,
and not standing up for our own guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. We can acknowledge that what happened is unacceptable, ridiculous, and dangerous while also acknowledging that the SEC has an officiating problem that they refuse to accept responsibility for and fix. Phil is next. What's up, Phil?
Well, hey, Debbie.
Hey, Philly.
How you doing, Jake Snake now?
Man, we're doing all right. Yourself?
I hope Barbara's all right.
Yep. I was got a doctor's visit right now, so we're all keeping the bear in our prayers.
Yes. Guys, that head official is from Birmingham, Alabama. Do you know that?
Yes. Financial advisor in Birmingham.
So, who's advising Saban how to use his money?
I'm sure. I wouldn't take any financial advice from that idiot.
Roll down tide.
Oh, it's a damn joke, isn't it? I mean, you look at it, did Ole Miss apologize to Tennessee when we beat them down there in basketball 2-3 years ago? At the end of the game, they threw a debris all over the court and made it, you know, dangerous for our players.
Not a peep, Phil.
And I've seen Ole Miss at several football games. Their fans throw bottles and stuff on the field, and I don't think they ever find anything. So it's pretty bad when Ole Miss gets more royalty treatment than we do in the SEC front office.
It's happened a lot. What happened in our stadium, and listen, I'll take I don't have any problem taking accountability. It lasted way too long. We've seen that happen before at Neyland, and usually it's a couple bottles, whatever. It lasts for a minute or two. Things settle down, brush them off. We play the game. What happened, 20-minute delay. We've never seen anything like that. That's inexcusable. But you're right. It's happened elsewhere before, and people – the Blue Check Brigade wants to make it look like this is the only time this has ever happened and Tennessee fans have gone beyond the pale and all this stuff. That's their narrative, and that's why people don't trust the media anymore. They continue to dig their own grave rather than be introspective at all and learn any sort of lesson about it. So, hey, those folks are more and more becoming unemployed, and eventually maybe they'll learn their lesson, but I wouldn't hold your breath.
Where was Daniel White when all this was going on? Why didn't he get a microphone and urge Tennessee fans to quit doing it? I mean, Josh Heupel has to coach. I mean, I guess he could do it too. But if Daniel White's making $1.8 million, do something.
It's to me again. This goes back to the officiating crew. Get control of the game. We've seen that happen before. That head official, this stooge. This clown, he's got a microphone on his belt. Walk over to Josh Heupel, say, hey, coach, take this mic and say a few words. Just explain to your fan base that you're still in this ball game. You got a chance to win. Let's cut this out so we can get the game going again. And if Heupel does that, there's no doubt in my mind it ceases almost immediately. You have a minute or two to clean up that scene, and then you're back in business. But they just stood there watching. Waiting for somebody else to come and fix their problem, which is really emblematic of how they officiated that entire game.
Yeah.
Scared.
It was a travesty. And I remember everybody talking about how Kiffin out-coached the Heupel. I think more or less it was because of TV. All they did is show Lane Kiffin on TV doing all that stuff. And how many times were there side shots of Heupel during the game? I don't know. Maybe one or two times?
No. No, they had their narrative. They're going to stick to it.
That's what ESPN does, man.
Well, yeah. It is. And then you have a Vandy grad, explaining how good the refereeing is.
I love that. Jordan Rogers, you didn't do a damn thing. Not worthy of carrying his brother's jock, and all of a sudden he's the oracle of the SEC network. He's nothing more than a pretty haircut up there, man. He's a clown.
Yeah, I agree. Hooker, that's great news. Of Hooker, I would not play him. It's our game of the year is Kentucky. We got to be playing for the Kentucky game now. Get the Mazes back, get Tyron Evans back, and let's go play ball in Lexington, Kentucky, and bring a victory back to Knoxville.
I agree. That's a chance to, I would say, season-defining win. I mean, if we lose it and still go 6-6, I still feel good about year one of the Heupel era and where this thing might be headed, but that would sure make it feel a lot better, and that'd be a win to hang your hat on and give the fan base some hope, and it'd just be nice to dunk on Kentucky again. That's always fun.
Yeah, and then Kentucky will probably beat Mississippi State, so they'll probably be that was borderline top 10 team whenever we go up there. And it'd be nice to get a first meaningful win.
I'll say this. If Hooker and Cade and Tyon are healthy, Tennessee will beat Kentucky in Lexington.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you.
If those three can play and Cooper Mays, Tennessee will win that game.
So you're going to have a Hamer on later in the week to talk about the scrimmage?
Yeah, man. His eyes lit up when he started talking about Kennedy Chandler the other day.
Well, I understand that the Zach Arie, what's his name, he looked good too. So point guard's going to be a strength, which has been, it's been a weakness since Jordan Bone walked off campus.
You're absolutely right. And even when Bone was here, it's not like they had a great backup. And now to have two of these little water bugs that can really run, that's going to be fun to watch.
One more thing, Jake was talking about that the rankings. What's Alabama, Arkansas, and Kentucky's ranking?
Kentucky's 10th. I think Arkansas, it's either Arkansas or Alabama at 14th, and then a couple in the 20s.
We'll find that for you, Philly.
Yeah.
I guess where Will Wade's at. That's kind of the – you know, I would tell Sankey, we'll pay the $250,000 when you do something about Will Wade.
Don't hold your breath, Phil. Our administration, if there's one thing they're well known for, it's having a lot of backbone and standing up and speaking truth to power, Phil.
Yeah, Dante Plowden wrote that check to Pruitt and Fulmer. See you.
Quick timeout. The drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up.
The drive.
Fan Run Radio. The drive continues. Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange, Knoxville's easiest place to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones. Now with two locations. The original Bearden Hill right next to Soccer Taco and the all-new location in Alcoa, Gill Street, Blount County. Go check it out. I was up there last week. They had a great, great setup out there for you folks in Blount County. You got an old phone, take it up to the Phone Exchange. Get paid. Folks, tell them Fan Run sent you. They'll take great care of you at the Phone Exchange. Let's go back to the phones, and Heath is next. Good afternoon, Heath. You're on the drive.
Hey, Russ. How you guys hanging in there today, bud?
Heath, we're making it, buddy.
My throat still hurts.
It's kind of weird. It's like this mixture of sadness, anger, but I'm still – the sadness comes from it knowing that it's a missed opportunity. It's not like we were in the year one under Gump where it's like, man, I don't know if this guy's going to have enough offense to make it. I mean, it's exciting, man. I look forward to – even – I know some people are saying they're not looking forward to seeing Tennessee play Alabama. I like seeing them play football, man. I'd be interested to see what they can do, even if it is Milton at quarterback. I just like watching this offense, man. And I don't have any expectation of winning at Alabama, but I think they can hit some plays on them and score some points.
I hear you. I'm just about as furious as I was Saturday night. I've not had a loss sting this bad in years.
Ouch.
And I don't know. It's really rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know. One thing I did want to mention here. I don't know that anybody said this yet, but. I think the only reason they didn't call that game Saturday night during all that was I think they honestly knew that if they made us forfeit or call that game, that you are just setting off a powder keg. I think that situation gets much, much worse, and I think they knew that.
I think they understood that, but I think they also knew Josh Heupel wasn't leaving that field.
And
the team wasn't leaving that field, and like you're saying, the fans weren't leaving that stadium. That was not an option. And I wish they had acted more forcefully and strongly to get the situation under control initially. But, I mean, that was obvious from the get-go that crew had – they were completely in over their heads and ill-equipped to handle the evening.
Yeah, and here's another angle, Russ. I'm not by any means endorsing what happened Saturday night with the crowd, but I'm honestly surprised it hasn't happened sooner. Not necessarily with us, but with just somebody in this conference just being fed up with the putrid officiating that we see week in and week out, and how many games have been affected, how many teams have lost games this year due to just inept officiating in this conference that they refuse to fix, and it just happened to be us to finally be the ones to just lose our minds over it. You know, in a way, I almost wonder, like, okay, is this what it was going to have to take to bring enough attention to the situation? I don't know. I don't know that it does anything to help you at all, but it just kind of makes you sit back and wonder, okay, does this bring enough attention to it to where they're like, okay, we're going to have to do something to keep this from happening again? Never admit that up front.
Are you talking about the injuries or just the overall incompetence of the officiating?
The overall incompetence of the officiating, mainly.
I'd be stunned if they do anything.
They
never announce things. They suspended that same crew that was in there. They suspended them after they botched the Memphis Mississippi State game earlier.
And Arkansas Florida 2009.
So this crew's been suspended before. Now, of course, they don't publicize that because we can't hurt their feelings. But this is a well-known incompetent officiating crew, and they sent them down there because they're thinking, oh, it's Tennessee and Ole Miss, and this game we'll just throw it on the SEC network because it's not they didn't realize because they're just I don't know, man, they're not paying attention, I guess. But if that crew ever sets foot, I'm not just talking about Tennessee, man, and the SEC, they need to fire them. They need to fire those guys. They've got other jobs. You said that guy's a financial advisor. He'll be okay. But
Arkansas hates him.
Let your fans know. Let the Arkansas fans, the Mississippi State fans, the Georgia fans, the Tennessee fans that have been screwed over by these stooges know that we hear you and we value your opinion. We take it seriously and we appreciate you, and we're not going to let these guys continue to do this over and over and over again.
I honestly, Russ, that's well said. I think just acknowledging the problem would fix a lot of this stuff. I think if you just acknowledge it and show people, show the fans that, hey, we know you pay all this money. We're making all this money off of you guys, off the fans' backs. You know, okay, we need to do something here. We need to take care of this issue. But I think that alleviates a lot of these issues. I think if you have more parity and more, I don't know, like accountability, that never happened Saturday night. You know, it's like you said earlier, you can, you know, acknowledge that what happened wasn't a good look with also, you know, saying that, hey, without piss poor officiating, we don't get to this point. But I don't know. I'm trying to chill out a little bit, but
I want to cancel those refs. Can we cancel them?
We need.
How do we cancel somebody?
Hashtag cancel Curls, Curlis, whatever his last name is.
Hey, cancel Curls.
Screw that guy.
Emails on him or something.
Oh man, that's classic. All right, good stuff, Heath. Anything else?
No, I've said my fill for the day. I hope you guys have a good one. I appreciate the phone call, man.
All right, thank you. You called me, but we appreciate you. JM on my Twitter DM says, it's a shame listening to this and everyone trying to justify the scene the other night. It's not okay, no matter what or who does it. This whole show is callers defending it. Ridiculous.
Absolutely ridiculous.
No, I don't think that I don't think acknowledging that there was a reason for it is defending it. Like I said earlier, and I think most people have agreed that this is what I hear from the callers, and maybe I'm not hearing them correctly, but y'all tell me. But I hear people saying, yes, what happened is unacceptable. It should not have happened. It should have been stopped sooner. And people who are throwing things need to be whatever, you know, punished, they banned from the stadium for the rest of the year, which I think that's going to be the deal. If you can be identified, they should ban you from the stadium. But we can do that. We can acknowledge that while also acknowledging that there were plenty of other factors that contributed to it other than just a perceived bad officiating call. Which I don't even think the call was that bad. Again, and y'all might kill me for this one, but I went back and watched it, and I think it was a bad spot to begin with. Actually, I don't even know if it was a bad spot. I mean, it was a hard thing to tell. There's nobody in position to be there. I don't know if somebody's supposed to be. I mean, it's 4th and 27, so you're not going to be sitting all the way back there. The line judge is where he's supposed to be at the line, right? He's not as fast as Jacob Warren. So maybe he should have been a little bit closer. I don't know what the right expectation is there. I'm just saying, based off where he was, it's probably hard to see in real time. And then based off the lack of quality replay angles, there's not definitive evidence to overturn it. But I also think that if you're going to go back and look at the review process, which they probably won't, because they've conveniently managed to just dump this all off on the at the feet of a bunch of rowdy redneck Tennessee fans rather than acknowledging and addressing their own issues. But, you know, in English soccer, they have VAR, and they go back and review mostly for offsides calls. And last year they were using it to the letter of the law, and it's like, oh, this guy's the knuckle on his right pinky finger was over the line, disallow a goal. And people hated that. And so they basically said, look, you can use common sense when you go and look at that. And it's like, okay, if that's the situation, then we're going to let the goal stand. If you're using common sense, no, there's not definitive video evidence. But if we're agreeing that the fundamental laws of physics existed in Neyland Stadium Saturday night, you can go back and see, well, he had the ball in his belly. His knee hit the ground at the 49-yard line, or the, what is it, the 41-yard line, and he had the ball in his belly, and that's a tall guy. He's 6'6", so it's probably more than a yard from his knee to his belly, thus the ball was probably right around the 40. Even though we can't see it, it's common sense to, I could see that. That makes sense to me. It makes sense to you, but that's not the rule. The rule is you have to have definitive video evidence. The worst spot to me was on our first possession of the ball game, the play right before Cade got hurt, where they were rushing for it to go on the fourth down. It's 3rd and 5, I think. We throw a quick slant over the middle to Velas. He catches it, and kind of the same thing, right? His knee hits at the 34, and he has to get the 35, I believe. And I thought he made it. I thought it was pretty clear that he made it. They get a horrible spot. They spotted a yard short. It was a bad spot. I don't know if it was a yard short. I don't know if he made it for sure, but it was no less than inches away. It should have been at least at the half a yard short. And they go back and they look at it. They end up going back and reviewing the play. And it's clear that the spot is bad. It's not a yard short. It might be half a yard short at most. But not only, they don't say, hey, it's half a yard short. It's still short. They just say, oh, the ruling on the field stands. Well, how's that? That doesn't make any sense. Go back and watch it. It's ridiculous. It's either a first down or it's half a yard short. I think Heupel should have gone for it too, man. That's just my opinion. I know it's first quarter, but it's already 7-0 at that point. We need to keep the ball. Let's get TJ, the Kentucky fan, in here next. TJ, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio. Like us, TJ drank Saturday night, not from the keg of glory, but from the keg of despair. It was a bitter drink to swallow. But the sun came up yesterday, TJ, and we're still here.
Honestly, I ain't even gonna lie. Just the fact that Mark Stoops has gotten Kentucky into that position to where Kentucky football fans are pissed off because we didn't beat the number one team in the nation, that just tells you how much work Stoops has done at Kentucky. But anyways, let me ask you a question. And I have, before I say this, I'm not saying anything about the Tennessee game. I don't have a dog or a cat in that fight. So you want to cut down on injuries, which I do too, because the fake injuries, they're getting ridiculous. So you want to have the player, if he goes down, miss the entire series. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm sure you have been hit on the shin before, especially if you've played football. If you get a helmet to the shin on accident, you're like, oh, gosh, you know, you're limping a little bit. If you get a stinger, that can be rubbed out in like 2 or 3 minutes with some Icy Hot and you go back in, fine. What do we do about those kids who are going to be punished because they may have just got a stinger or a banger here or there? Here's what I want to see. If your team has two players go down back to back, it's a 5-yard penalty. They can go back in and play, but the offense gets 5 yards. And it remains first, second, third, or fourth down.
I don't know. That's getting kind of confusing to me. I hear what you're saying, but that's a lot to think about for officials who clearly can't handle what's on their plate to begin with. Like, I hear what you're saying. You get a little bruise or something, and you feel like you got to come out for a play or two. My thing would be, okay, well, just walk off the field. Just get off the field, and then you can come back in whenever. But if it's to the point where the game has to be stopped and they come out and they check on you and they're kneeling over you while you're sucking wind on the ground for 2 or 3 minutes, and then you get up and you slowly walk to the sideline, and all the meantime, your teammates are getting water, they're getting rest, and they're getting coached up, and they sub. Which, I mean, that's the other part of this, right, is you're doing it because you're gassed and you need a break, but you're also subbing. And that's the main thing, maybe even more than tiring the defense out, is Heupel wants to make it so that you can't sub. He knows what package you're in, and he's thinking about this while he's running his plays. Okay, I'm setting this play up for third down, and then they hit you with the bomb. Well, because I know that you're going to be in this package and this guy's going to be lined up over here and I'm going to get the matchup I want, the play I want, and boom, we're going to hit you with it. Well, now all of a sudden, Kiffin lets his guys rest and he takes this DB who's tired out and puts this DB who's fresh in, or he puts an extra safety in, or he does whatever he does to negate your advantage. That's the problem.
I'm completely with you, man. I can remember Kentucky games where even when we suck, we would start driving on somebody or anybody, and oh, you know, injury here, injury there. You see it every game, no matter who you watch. So let me ask you this: what if instead of the player coming out for the whole series or the 5-yard penalty, if somebody goes down, the players have to stay on the field, no substitutions. Only the water boys can go out on the field for water. No coaching, no substitutions, no nothing. Only trainers and water boys and girls out on the field, and the players can't come to the sidelines.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, too. I just think, look, if you implement the you're out for the rest of the series rule, it's not going to stop it, and maybe a guy like Kiffin, snake that he is going to have a plan to, hey, on third down, go ahead and take it. We'll run the risk. Hey, if we can get off the field on third down without you in there, then that's a small price to pay. You're only out one play. But at least then, instead of this happening 20 times like it did the other night, maybe it's only happening 8 or 9 times. I mean, that's much more manageable. I mean, that was a farce that we saw out there the other night. I can't imagine being a fan, just a casual fan, not having a rooting interest in the team, and watching that and not being outraged.
It was, I won't lie, I'll get off here, but it was hard to watch. I had the Tennessee Ole Miss, and not because of the two teams who were playing, but a five-hour game in football, you usually see that in a 16 or 17-inning baseball game that goes into extra innings. But it was pretty bad. But, hey, good luck this weekend against Alabama. We've got Mississippi State next weekend, and we're almost to Saturday. Hang in there.
Thank you, TJ. Appreciate the phone call. Portions of our show today brought to you by Les Turner, Right Approach Financial. Folks, it's never too soon. You youngins out there, never too soon to start planning for the perfect retirement. And for you folks of a certain vintage, it's never too late either to start planning. You need to be saving. Don't depend on Uncle Sam, man. Take matters in. Don't be like these SEC refs, no accountability. Be responsible for yourself. Call Les Turner, get started saving. Make sure you've got the right plan together. You got any questions about financial planning, investing, saving for retirement, call Les Turner at Right Approach Financial. It's a free phone call, 865-498-3047. A free initial consultation with Les. Tell him we sent you, 498-3047, online at rightapproachfinancial.com. Back with more after this. Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Overreaction Monday presented by The Phone Exchange. Brando is next on the G3 Help Me Hotline. What's up, Brando?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going.
Hey, man. All right. I'm sorry about my voice. I'm still a little voiceless from the game, but, you know.
Oh, man.
I just wanted to call in. You know,
you gave your all, Brando. You gave your all.
Hey, man. I tried. You know, talking about that, giving it all, that team, the fans, they didn't give up for 1 second. Even after all the trashing and stuff happened, me and the guy behind me, we were convinced like it was an Aaron Rodgers moment that they left 56 seconds on the clock and 3 timeouts. Like, we still thought we were going to win that game. And we almost did, too, which was crazy. But, you know, what happened. I mean, you had to be there to really understand why it happened and what happened. On the Jumbotron, when that Jacob Warren, 4th and 26, honestly, like on the Jumbotron, I really did think he got it. So I don't know, maybe on the TV, I don't look, maybe it was different, but on there, it looked like he had reached across and got that.
Yeah, it's on the, you never saw the ball on any of the replays that they had. You couldn't see the ball. And so that was, you know, they were never going to change that call, which is the way the rule's written. I get that. But it's just, I can't believe, you know, I don't know what the officials are supposed to do in that situation. It's such a long down and distance, 4th and 26, right? I mean, I don't know that you have a guy standing right at the first down line. I mean, it's the same thing that happened in the pit at the end of the pit game, where the guy's just, he's out of position to see where the ball's going to be spotted. But it felt like we had better angles for the pit game.
Yeah, there's a picture on Twitter of the nearest ref that was there to spot the ball. He was about, I think the first down was on the 30, and I think he was on the 45. He was about 15 yards away where Jacob Warren was, and he ran all the way down there to spot it. So,
and again, it's a long down and distance. I don't know that he's supposed to be right there at the line to gain. But
You would think they'd have a guy back there in the secondary, though.
You would think that, and you would think that with all the money that that ESPN and the league has invested in this thing, that we would have at least one camera on the other side of the field giving us a view of where the ball was.
Or we could just put a tracker in the ball on the field and be scientists and get it over with and stop this whole problem. But, you know.
Well, they make technology like that for, like, basketballs and stuff now.
Oh, they have it in tennis. They have it in soccer. Yeah. They have it in golf. I mean, and yet American tackle football, the most popular sport. And it's not like in, you know, golf where the course is, you know, acres and acres. It's just a 100-yard football field, man. You would think that they would be able to use light technology, lasers and whatever to put microchips in the ball. I don't know. Get the scientists on it. I'm just some dude, but you would think they'd figure it out.
Yeah. Hey, man, I'm proud of these guys. I'm proud of the way they fought, even after the mistakes and the missed kick. It sucks knowing that if we did hit that first field goal, we were kicking the wind right there in the end, and the ball wouldn't have been in Joe Milton's hands. But, you know, I'm proud of the guys. It took
Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss really disgracing the name and the game of college football to win that football game. And they're supposed to be a top 10 team with a Heisman quarterback. So, you know, I'm proud of them. There's not much you can do but try to get healthy and try to get back on the right track. I think Corrado should be happy with what he caused at Neyland Stadium.
Geraldo Vall, he crossed the borderline. There's nothing borderline about it. Brando, thanks, man. We're out of time. Stay with us. Hour number three coming up.